There's an environmental and economic crisis along our coast and around the world. Oyster populations are drastically low as compared to numbers a century ago. In North Carolina, oyster populations have dropped a whopping 90%. But two men in Carteret County think they may have the answer to the shortage. One is a scientist.
So we get a lot more filtration, biodeposits.
The other is a fisherman.
I do most of my shellfishing in Hushmouth Creek. That's right next to Ain't Telling You Bay.
It's an unlikely partnership, since scientists and commercial fishermen haven't traditionally had the best relationship. Against big odds, these two have worked together for the past 6 years to figure out the best way to increase oyster populations in the estuaries of North Carolina's coast. Waters were once abundant with oysters, but now populations have been decimated because of overharvesting and habitat destruction.
It's also important to note that the environment along our coast has changed dramatically over the years.
Dr. Niels Lindquist is a researcher at the University of North Carolina's Institute of Marine Sciences in Morehead City.
One of those big changes has been to allow more saltwater into our estuaries, dredging inlets and building the intercoastal waterway. And when you change the water, make it saltier, it's harder for oysters because there are so many more predators and pests that love to eat oysters as much as we do.
Oysters are important economically in North Carolina. According to Dr. Lindquist, the oyster harvest over the past few years has been steady at $250 million. The industry provides local jobs, and the product will be sent to seafood markets and restaurants here locally and internationally. Oysters are also highly valued because of their ability to clean the water. Mollusks have the ability to filter up to 50 gallons of water each day.
The oysters also make reefs along shorelines, and they protect the shorelines from erosion, so they're very important for protecting coastal properties.
Over the past few decades, local scientists and conservationists have developed methods to restore oyster populations. One of the more successful efforts is the creation of man-made oyster shell sills. A pile of loose oyster shells, or marl, is placed in shallow water, creating a barrier that runs parallel to shore. The rock or shell material can also be placed inside mesh bags. Plants can be added around the sill to create a living shoreline. The idea is that oyster larvae will attach to the substrate, and you have an oyster reef. While this is still an effective practice for oyster restoration, Dr. Lindquist called upon the local knowledge of David Clamorhead Cessna, a seventh-generation fisherman in downeast Carteret County, to improve upon traditional methods. Together, they've experimented with different types of materials to get the most effective way to restore oyster populations.
The imaginations took over, and you know, we came up with a new material that we've been testing now, and it looks very promising for growing oysters, and then having those oysters on a material that allows us to do a lot of different things with them.
Their improved method for restoration bypasses marl and oyster shells and instead uses an ephemeral plant-based material to create structures for oyster larvae to attach to. Clamorhead, who left his job in construction to return to his love of fishing, is using his building skills to create reefs.
This new material that we've created is basically a plant fiber with certain cement binders.
The plant-based reef material can be molded into different shapes and sizes, from flat square mats to long rod shapes, pyramids, and something that he refers to as a cow patty.
Just a big pile of string all weaved around together with this binder on it that have turned out to be our very, very productive product.
This dynamic duo has tested new material and a variety of reef shapes behind the Institute of Marine Sciences in Morehead City. The site is located on the busy Bogue Sound Waterway, which is exposed to strong southwest winds and frequent yacht wakes 3 to 4 feet high. Dr. Lindquist says their method is showing marked improvements over traditional oyster sills.
And we create reefs that can withstand tremendous wave and currents, and we've had material in the water for almost 10 months now, and we've seen it not move an inch and grow fabulous oyster populations where an oyster sill just down the beach from us has been pushed back by boat wakes and strong waves.
There are several advantages to using this new method to build oyster reefs over traditional methods. If oysters fail to grow and cover the mesh bags, they eventually tear open and the shells scatter and the plastic ends up in the environment. However, the new biodegradable substrate material eventually disintegrates in the water, and the concrete crumbles into small pieces and becomes part of the sediment bed. Another benefit has to do with the way the reefs are designed. Each three-dimensional structure is elevated above the bottom. Since it isn't submerged in sand, Clamorhead says oyster larvae can settle on all sides of the substrate. This results in more oysters, which means more filtration, which leads to healthier waterways and a more prosperous fishing industry.
When and build an oyster seal out of a solid pile, then you've just got that surface area. Nothing lives underneath it. Nothing lives in it, or little to nothing. But with our method, we usually start 6 to 12 inches above ground level, in some cases even higher, to catch the intertidal zone, so that by the time we actually start catching oyster larvae, we've already got fish swimming around underneath it. We've got crabs crawling through it.
In addition to creating microhabitats, another advantage of these rigid structures is that they can be anchored in place in intertidal areas with strong waves and currents. Dr. Lindquist explains more water movement carries more food to the reef, resulting in faster growing oysters.
It was typically said that it would take 18 to 24 months to grow an oyster to market size, and that's growing them up in the water column in these bags that everybody assumes is the best and the fastest way to grow an oyster.
Dr. Lindquist says they have been able to cut that time by almost half, growing market-sized, high-quality oysters in only about 12 to 15 months. The scientist and the fishermen leased another testing site in the Newport River, an intertidal area where a small portion of the 1.3 acres was covered with the substrate. Their conservative estimate is that 3.6 million oysters have grown at the site, though it's probably more like 5 to 6 million. And that brings up another interesting point with this new method. Before the reefs were placed in that leased area, oysters did not exist there. It was just sand. These reefs can be used to create thriving oyster habitats in places where they didn't previously exist. Dr. Lindquist hopes the new material and the methods they've found for growing oysters will create opportunity for conservationists and even waterfront homeowners who want to create a living shoreline in their own backyard.
We're also working with the Division of Marine Fisheries and talking about ways in which we can use the oysters growing on our substrates to help with restoration activities and also with culch planting and enhancing the resource for commercial and recreational fishermen from wild oyster populations.
Word about the new oyster reefs has circulated around the fishing community down east. Clammerhead says some of his friends are interested in being a part of it.
They see it as a way of making a decent income, a way of helping the environment, still getting to be out on the water and maintain that commercial fishing individuality.
In the past, the relationship between scientists and commercial fishermen has been strained. But Clammerhead says this project has proven that scientists and fishermen can work together. And when they do, magic happens.